Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Leaders in Supply Chain Latin American podcast. I am your host, Xavier Bazañez, Managing Director, Latin and US for Arcol Global. Our mission is to connect the supply chain and logistic ecosystem globally and bringing forward some of the most interesting stories about success and failure from leaders in the industry. Today is my pleasure to have with us our friend, Mark Mayer. Hello, Mark.
Thanks, Xavier. Happy to be here.
Perfect, Mark. Thank you for being with us. For the listeners, Mark Mayer is the Chief Commercial Officer of Transmetric, based in Dubai. Previously, he served as a head of marketing in Transmetric. And previous that experience in Transmetric, Mark has been working at Cognizant as a marketing manager, member of management of the board in measurement, in Netherlands, and previously Mark served as a chairman in the Marketing Association of Amsterdam and developed his career basically in marketing, working with creative director and business developer. So welcome again, Mark.
Thank you for the introduction.
Great. So let's start knowing who is Mark. Tell us about your professional career. What is inspiring you in marketing, commercial areas, and being the entrepreneur signal inspiration, and in how you start moving or serving that inspirational entrepreneurship in the supply chain, no? How you can be in the logistic area, how this marketing experience and commercial experience have been moving to that area. Tell us about it.
Sure. It's been quite a journey because, as you said, you don't easily wind up in logistics, never mind AI in logistics, a very niche market. My basics were and are still in marketing. Served as a head of marketing for a couple of technology companies. At one point in my career, I became an employee of Cognizant, which is one of the biggest IT service providers in the world. Basically, they do everything you can imagine, from building 5G towers to developing software. So it's a very broad company and also very good company, I would say, still. And there I was responsible for a couple of verticals. And one of those verticals was travel and logistics. So that got me inspired, so to speak.
Yeah, that got you in the supply chain war.
Exactly. Yeah. Honestly, I never thought I would be as interested as I am, but it really sparked a fire within me, seeing how all of these processes affect everybody globally, from the bakery on the corner to the biggest chip manufacturers in the world, have to deal with the same kind of problems.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And then, sorry for interrupting, but this is what I'm telling everybody in the supply chain when we are talking in the podcast. I mean, all logistic and supply chain processes are involved in all transactions inside the organization and outside with supplier and final customers, no? Everything that we do, this in have something in the supply chain, also in marketing, in commercial. And this is the beauty part of that. The people that more in another functions, you understand the importance and the criticality of the supply chain, no?
Yeah, exactly. So continuing on my journey was indeed, you start out with the basics and from there you learn more and more. And at a certain point, I saw this crazy startup called Transmetrics that were claiming they would revolutionize the logistics industry, which I thought was very funny because that's quite a claim to revolutionize something that big. So we got talking and then I was hired. So that was amazing.
Oh, great. And this Transmetrics, when you started, it's a head of marketing, that's right?
Yeah, that's correct.
Okay, and what did you start doing? How was the offering of Transmetrics that catch you to join that team and servicing the potential customers?
Yeah, what I really liked about Transmetrics when it first grabbed my attention was that they don't capture only a very small part of the market, but they actually service broad value chain. So we have products and services for ocean shipping lines, which is where the journey begins, right? We have solutions for line haul. We have solutions for last mile. So we capture, say you order something from a faraway company. I would order something from Latin America. It goes on a ship, then it goes on a line haul, then it comes to my house with a last mile truck. And I was really inspired and then captivated by the fact that one company would have the vision to capture all of those moments instead of just focusing on one, because I think, as we all know, or anyone who is at least basic knowledge about the logistics industry, is that everything is connected. So
yeah,
if someone at the beginning of the journey makes a mistake, the one at the end of the journey still feels the pain of that first mistake. So the only way to really improve and really revolutionize the business as Transmetrics, as we claim, is to attack the whole value chain and make it better.
That's great. So how was that in this initial time when you arrived to Transmetrics and you moved as a chief operating officer for the company? How your customers and your people feel about the option and the solution that Transmetrics was given to the community? Tell us about it.
That was a very interesting time. When I started out, actually the company started long before me. I think the idea was drafted somewhere around 2012, 2013. And the founders actually took a few years to get it going, because as you can imagine, this is a very hard and complex problem to solve. Mm-hmm. And while the initial ideas made sense in the real world, that has different implications. And it took quite a lot of time and effort to develop something that was scalable, because logistics is a notoriously difficult industry. It has all of these kind of crazy aspects to it that you don't see in any other industry. Mm-hmm. So it took them a few years to get it going. One of our first use cases was the positioning of assets, focused mostly around containers. So basically, where do you need to move your containers ahead of time? So we forecast for weeks on, before. And that was the first kind of solution that we offered. And when we offered that, and it's still very difficult for us sometimes, because it's the logistics industry is an old industry. Mm-hmm. So it's been going on for, well, as far as we know, forever. At least since humans been around, right? There's always been a need to transfer goods from A to B. And so it's also an industry that's a bit of a legacy. We sometimes get a lot of pushback because of the new technologies. You know, some people find that scary. Other people, for example, here in Dubai, where I currently live, everybody loves innovation and they want to see it in action. And, you know, they want to integrate it as fast as possible. But when you get to more traditional countries and cultures, people can be a bit scared, and you know, they don't trust the system, and they think, we have a planner doing the job already. But the thing is, that planner, due to the rise in, you know, e-commerce and logistics, has become so big as an industry in the last couple of years. So where before, you know, you could have one person doing a bit of calculations and making a planning. But now, with all of the things going on, it's not possible, if you want to have a normal life, to actually do that as a person. You need a bit of support by a system.
Yeah, definitely. When you are talking about that, I remember just no more than 15 years ago, just the logistic part and the servicing of tracking the containers or getting out my shipment from the port was like a black box, so that few people know and do the service. Send that information to the logistic company, no? And this was like maybe the power of, I don't know, maybe DHL or for other kind of big logistic company in that time. But when the arriving all this digital world, artificial intelligence, and the big push of the COVID-19 have been changing everything, and the great advantages of having tools maybe like this to track, no? How you leave it, this chain, from the point of view of from the internal company?
Mainly we start out with historical data. No, actually the first step, which is the most difficult one, is to clean the data, because we come in and most of the time people say, we have a bit of problems with data. And then we already know, there we go again. So most of the time, these are systems that have been around for, as you said, maybe 10, maybe 20 years, all connected. Weak links, let's put it like that. Sometimes it's just barely working. We came across systems like running Windows 95 still and not being able to update, you know. So we start out with just saying, you know, what kind of systems do you use? What kind of network? What does your network look like? Obviously, for the network of an ocean shipping line, it's completely different from a last mile business. So we basically start out with that, assessing what the customer wants, what their system look like, and how bad, because it's never good. I can tell you already, it's never good, but how bad the data systems are. And from there on out, we clean it, we make it usable for our system so that it can read it. We have an in-house team dedicated to that and that alone. So that's the good news. Most of our clients don't have a dedicated team to do that. So they are stuck somehow. And we have a dedicated team to kind of take care of that.
Yeah.
And from there on out, we use that data that we collected. So that's historical data. And then we enrich it with, well, data from third parties. Every logistics operation has some partners, right? In more or less sense. And then you can incorporate external data, such as fuel prices or weather information, or, you know, you could even hook it up like a supply chain, like a warehousing tool, so that you know the quantities of the stuff you have to transport. And from there on out, we have our own in-house developed software that uses, as you said, elements of artificial intelligence and machine learning. And by using those technologies in combination with, obviously, algorithms that do the hard work, the calculations crunching that no person wants to do after high school. we combine all of that data to forecast the future. And that can be the future demand, or the future, you know, where to put your ships, or if you need any extra trucks on top of your own fleet in the case of last mile. So we use that predictive analytics to allow people to proactively react to the dynamic market conditions that are normal nowadays. It's never a dull moment anymore.
So that's great. So it's not just monitoring only all the movement and all the transaction. It's also you are able to do predictive future and how it's gonna happen. So this is very interesting, no? Just to have all the information and you can start modeling and doing all the movement that you want, though. But let me go more deeply, because for sure there are still people, listeners, that maybe still don't understand the benefits of this kind of tool, or what you are doing with this incredible tool. When you arrive to the website, you have a beautiful control panel there with indicators and like driving my F1. Okay. And just for that guy, the simplest guys, just let's go more deeply how this works. No, imagine, or let's place an example, and through an example that we are moving, or we are bringing raw materials, let's say for China, to Latin America, we are bringing that to, let's say, to Colombia. So how the user, no, the company can get benefit of watching everything through a good tool like this that can also predict the future and which is the right timing for bringing the product?
Yeah, sure. Well, as I said before, we use a number of technologies, and I think AI is the most important one there. So I'll focus on that one. There's also other things that are nice, but I think this is the main thing. Now, it's AI is something that's being used everywhere. So it's kind of hard to differentiate what is AI and what does it do. But for me, what it does, I think it makes the repetitive and I would say the mundane tasks go away, which opens up more possibilities for planners and companies to optimize their movement or even their company, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
So as an example of how we used AI, I think I can use the DPD Group, International Parcel Delivery Service, that is, I think, mainly active in Europe. When we came on, when they signed up as a client, I think they gave us 3 years of shipment history. And then the data was assembled through the process of cleaning that I just described, and then, which a lot of people underestimate, by the way. So that takes some time. And then for DPD, we use something called DSL language, then something that's called ETL-GEN framework. I think that's for the technical people so I'll skip over that. But in order to transform the operational scan sequences in the database to the Transmetrics data format. So after cleaning the data, we went on to enrich the data, making it more valuable for everybody in the organization. And that led to enormous improvements in the way they see their operation. So imagine, for example, I think you use a ship, but for this example, because they are on the road. They had, I think, 1 in 3 trucks in Europe is driving empty, which is a complete waste of space, fuel, time, everything. And a lot of that is because, for example, the dimensions or the weight of a shipment is not known. If you don't know what you're shipping, obviously you're not going to take the chance of shipping too much or too little. You want to get it just right. Now, using AI, you can kind of see from different aspects of it. For example, the origin of the shipment. You just used the example of coal. They are obviously certain places in the world or hubs that always have those same kind of products. And then there's also seasonality in it. So if you use all of that, our system automatically makes a kind of an overview of what it thinks those shipments will be. In the field, we are testing with 99% accuracy. So that's incredibly high because, for example, sometimes only the dimensions are known, but the weight is unknown, or vice versa. So you see a shipment of 10 kilos, but you don't know how big it is. You know, it could be a very small statue, but it also could also be a surfboard, you know? So if you don't know what you're shipping, that makes for a lot of inefficiency. So a lot of, I would say, dead space in every truck or ship. And now our system can analyze that and forecast that in the same way that for an ocean shipping line, for a ship, indeed, it can say, well, probably you have only 5 containers in Cape Town, but there are several orders placed, or there are, you know, historically those containers get used up in this period of time, or we see something with prices going on, for example, fuel prices or storing prices go up. You would probably need to move some containers away, or, for example, the Port of Rotterdam. I'm from the Netherlands myself. Yeah. The Port of Rotterdam is obviously notoriously expensive to store your containers or to even offload. So the key is there to have enough containers to satisfy the demand, but not that many that you have to store them and pay a lot of money. So there's these kind of use cases where, and you know, a person like a regular person like you or me, that's just too much data for us to think about and to analyze because, you know, the precise number of containers that's needed plus the fuel prices plus what's going to happen in 2 weeks. Yeah, I can already hear my brain crying. So, but no, but for a system, that's easy. Yeah.
To do it, no?
Yeah. For a system, it's very easy to see.
No, that's just great because also you are opening, as I said before, like a black box, and just able to eliminate the inefficiencies, better proposal for managing all that containers that usually the final user or the company didn't see before, and that inefficiency was covered by the big logistic companies, and you didn't realize of the inefficiencies that maybe they have inside, no?
Yeah, so that, exactly.
So that is a great, great opportunity. And from the other part, when you were talking, I was thinking in the second part, when product is arriving and how I manage the unloading process, the warehousing, and maybe the final distribution. And some companies that still are doing their direct distribution by themselves. Maybe here is the great advantage of growing industry of the 3PLs, that for sure with this tool, you can see all that movement and you can see, okay, how I can set any space for transporting my stuff and do the final deliveries, no?
Yeah, I mean, that's just one of the potential use cases. I would say that the possibilities are indeed endless. If you raise your visibility, there's just so many improvements to be had. I think that I like to say that we don't only cut costs, but we also just make for a better company because there's less stress for the planning environment. There's even opportunities in like voice of customer and usage patterns, like data. If you have the data, then even that becomes valuable, right? So there's all of these areas. There's so much to gain. And as you said, it's been a black box historically, and people just went with it, hoping for the best, I would say. And now we can identify and see what's actually happening also over years and over months' time.
No, and this is incredible because also the initial maybe companies that maybe were afraid of, okay, it's a new technology coming to us that could be discovering inefficiencies. Now are also your customers, as I saw, for example, Transmart, DHL, Cuba, Nagel, Milaha, DPD. And so they are using the tool and they are interconnecting with your platform for giving better information and at the end for giving a better result for the final customer. That's right.
Yeah, for sure. For example, taking back that example of the truck, if a company decides, oh, this truck is going to be probably full, so we'll have to wait with that small little package that goes to Xavier, and you know, you have to wait for another day before the next truck shows up. And now, if the truck is filled more efficiently, you get your book or whatever you ordered a bit sooner. So that's what a lot of people nowadays really strive to have, right? The service levels have been
improving.
To me, astonishing what we've been able to do in just a couple of years. I remember that back in the day, I used to, when e-commerce was just starting out, you signed up on a website and you bought something and you were hoping that it would show up in the first place. And then in the second place, like maybe you would be okay in 2 weeks. And now you can order something of, for example, Amazon or something, some store like that, the same day or even within a couple of hours, you have it on your door. So obviously, if you want to have those kind of service levels, you need to have the back end as well to kind of make that happen.
No, definitely. And the consumer is feeling that and is also claiming about the speed of servicing and getting the stuff that he's buying on time for their needs, no? And just also was letting me to think about the benefit of this tool in terms of any entrepreneur that is opening a business that, I mean, sometimes they are afraid of all the costs of structure that they need to implement, maybe for all the logistic part, warehousing, etc. But I think that, as you have been explaining, this kind of tool, like a Transmatic, is helping for any entrepreneur guy that want to open a business. I mean, can use all the infrastructure of other companies that serving in the logistic industry, but are monitoring through your tool and gives the best benefit or the best option to bring the stuff at the best cost possible, no? That's right?
Yeah, well, I think the most important thing that we do is just helping people do more with what they already have. So we've seen, everybody has seen that there's this big run on anything from containers to new trucks because the demand has just surged. But we like to think that, yes, probably you need more of everything, but also you can simply do more with what you already have by optimizing the route, the space you use, or the space utilization with what you already have. We even have a maintenance tool module in our platform that helps you keep your assets on the road or in the water longer by preventing breakdowns. So it's all about doing more with what you already have. And I think that's the most important aspect of it.
No, that's great. This is a great tool. It looks beautiful. And just thinking in the future, how do you see this kind of tool service in the supply chain industry and how we will be evolving with all this digitalization movement? How do you see this happening in the next 5 years? What do you think that is going to happen? This is a guessing, no?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah. Don't help me accountable in 5 years, please.
But, yes.
What I would say that now is the time to invest. As a logistics operator, this is the time to invest in whatever. Obviously, we would like for people to be a client of Transmetrics, but in any case, I think it's time for people to realize that without proper digital processes and automation and then all of that, there's just no way you can still operate in logistics space. You will be outcompeted, outperformed by everybody who is doing those things. So I think that right now what we're seeing, what we are doing with our clients is to reduce costs from in any aspect of the operation. We're optimizing route planning, optimizing infrastructure, fleet capacity, all of that stuff. That's happening right now. So if this is a shout out to anybody not doing that, start doing that right now, or you will have a big problem on your hands. And then in the very near future, let's say next year or maybe even this year for some innovators, we are going to also include things like IoT analytics, so Internet of Things, so sensors and that sort of stuff. That's going to change a lot as well. That's going to refine what we're already doing and then give people a competitive edge. Just imagine that, like, I think the maintenance of stuff is such a huge cost post for a lot of companies, and having a truck breakdown is a disaster because you violate your SLAs, you have to deal with the truck itself. And that all can be prevented in the near future. So having no more breakdowns ever is going to be such a game changer for people. And then from there on out, if you really want me to look in the crystal ball, I would say that accurate forecasting of demand is going to be eerily close to reality. I think we're hitting sometimes 99% now, but I think we can go 99.9 at some point. And that's going to elevate the quality of service. And from there on out, monetizing insights from use patterns is also something that's going to be interesting, even for like logistic operators. It's not just for the end consumer, but there's also a lot of commercial possibilities that people are missing out on right now because they simply don't know that there will be a demand at port X or hub Y, and they are not aware. But if you are aware that somebody somewhere is in need of your services, well, then you can make sure that you are there at the right time. So all of that stuff is going to tremendously change this whole industry. It's going to be a technology first industry, I would say, and you still need people for sure, but it's going to be a lot of technology that's going to make everything more smooth.
Yeah, definitely. And will be more smooth, more technology driving. But still, we will need people in terms, but with new skills in terms of big guys with great capacity for data analytics, knowing artificial intelligence, knowing how they can improve with IT skills the supply chain industry. No, so that will require management
for
with
sure.
more skill about that. No.
Yeah, when we talk about AI within Transmetrics, we don't talk about artificial intelligence. Actually, we use augmented intelligence, which kind of is the combination of AI with a human expert. So the AI does the automated stuff, has unbiased predictions, is not swept away by some sudden change. It's very objective. It can use big data. It can use models to kind of model everything very quickly, so you don't have to do all these manual calculations. It's also very good in fallback decisions. So if you need a quick decision, the system is probably better than a human. But we do always want to keep that human aspect and keep people in a loop because the experience, the customer knowledge, the market knowledge is also something interesting. I mean, if you've been in the industry for 10 years, you do know something that the system simply does not, the gut feeling, you know. And it's also, if you have that, vital in case of, for example, unreliable data or something that the system is struggling to comprehend, then you do need someone, preferably an expert, to step in and say, okay, this is what we're going to do.
Exactly. No, definitely. The world is changing, the game are changing. And this kind of new developments and new technology that we can use definitely will be modifying and improving all the supply chain industry. And that has been great, what you have been telling us. And I would like, maybe as your final message and words, I would like you, how do you see, to tell us, I mean, how will be that human part of the business, no? Because now we have chief operating officer, chief executive officers, chief supply chain officers, that they need to understand this new movement and new technologies that are available, and they need to develop themselves and their teams in this kind of skills, because that will not be also the traditional soft skill or the traditional hard skills. Mm-hmm. We need just like a new set of skills, knowing all the potential advantages that we can get through the technology and the application of the digitalization, no? Which could be your recommendation for the companies and for this management profile, just to develop themselves and to develop their teams? What do you suggest on that?
Yeah, well, that's an interesting question. We, in Transmetrics, we found out that having only technical people is not enough. And because you also need people who just understand the industry. But of course, as you just touched upon before, this is going to be a technology driven, and this is only one part of the global economy, right? I think everything is going to be at least partly technology driven. So I would say to anyone, make sure you have your basic technical skills, right? And you know, you can interpret a bit of data, you can talk about projections, you understand technology in general, I would say, or how things work, like machine learning or AI. That's very important. It's going to be a huge, huge part of any business. And on the other hand, just being an expert in your field, you know, being really good in what you do and knowing your industry quite well is, as I said, those kind of market knowledge and customer knowledge things that comes only with experience. And if I can be a little bit cliche, passion for something, doesn't matter if that's fashion or logistics or food or anything. It's just that you really need to know your stuff and supplement that with technological skills.
No, great, great, great. That's a very good message, Mark, for the people. For me, having a great, great conversation today, and I would like to thank you for your time and your availability to talk with the audience.
Thank you. It was my pleasure. Thank you.
Okay. Well, thank you, Mark, and thank you all of you for listening to our podcast. For all of the show notes and information discussed in this episode, please follow alcottglobal.com/podcast. Also, if you found this interesting, please subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Spotify, or Stitcher, or one of the podcast platforms that you prefer. We are looking forward to your feedback, and don't hesitate to contact us for your talent needs. We are the leaders in supply chain executive search, so don't doubt to contact us. Thank you very much. Thank you.